You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Kenny, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, you got it.
I don't know if everybody else is ready, but I'm ready. Y'all ready? We got a problem in this world today, and most of it's caused by all you people walking around out there without a clue. You're lost, and you're confused, and don't know what to do. Here's a message for you. If Jesus is strange, well, hold on just a minute here. We're going to get it. Let's try that again. If Jesus is a stranger, check your circle of friends. Oh, cause brother, you're in danger, and it's time to make amends. You might be looking the other way, but he's looking straight at you. So if Jesus is a stranger, get yourself introduced. I ain't no preacher. I know wrong from right. I ain't no saint, but I know I've seen the light, and I'm giving you warning in a friendly sort of way that he will be coming back someday. If Jesus is a stranger, check your circle of friends. Oh, brother, you're in danger, and it's time to make amends. You might be other way, but he's looking straight at you. So if Jesus is a stranger, get yourself introduced. I'm not some religious nut. Oh, but I know wrong from right. You might be straying back. There's still time to turn back, cause the day is coming when you'll have to sink or swim. If you don't know him, oh, if Jesus is a stranger, check your circle of friends. Oh, brother, you're in danger, and it's time to make amends. You might be looking the other way, but he's looking straight at you. So if Jesus is a stranger, get yourself introduced.
My own brother Rick. That's great. It's great to be with you guys tonight. Truly an honor, and I mean that with all of my heart. This is such a privilege. Leland, thank you for entrusting me with these people. I know how much you love them, and that's you put a lot of pressure just asking me to come because you love these folks so much, and I do too. I love you guys, and thank you. I just sensed the Lord with us tonight when I walked in, and you know, I'm sitting here almost, I'm feeling real melancholy, and I don't know why. All the thing I can say about it is it's got to be God's presence, and I prayed he'd prepare my heart before I stand before you today. And I'm excited about that. That was the truth. I did run Boston, and my wife used to tell people when they'd be bragging on me about doing that, she'd say, "Yeah, Mark is, they'd say, you know, he's real tough." And she'd say, "Yeah, he is. He's tough. D-U-M-B, tough, you know." and she always used to tell him, "He's in great shape from the neck down, you know." From there up, we're questioning that deal. Man, I hate Brother Charles isn't here tonight. I brought this message tonight, and I'm really sorry to hear about his daddy. We need to pray for them. But he has been after me for about the last three times that I spoke. I'd get finished and he'd say, "Brother Mark, that was okay, but He said, talk about rowdy. I want you to talk about rowdy. And a lot of you guys don't know who Rowdy was. That wasn't my brother or my daddy. It was a black Labrador retriever I had. Rowdy was one of these dogs. You know, there's some defining moments. There's some defining seasons in all of our lives that you'll go through, and you may not, it might be a hobby, it might be something that's going on, and you don't realize that if you're in Christ and you're a Christian, you don't realize God may have you in that season to develop something. Something real special is happening in the midst of that. And this is what happened to me. I've trained dogs since I was in junior high. And I had this one that was, he was extremely special, very intelligent. He was one of those truly one in a lifetime. People say Rowdy was a one in a million. No, there's no limit. There is no other will ever be like Rowdy. And what made him so special was our relationship. I used to hold camps. I did some camps with young people, youth camps at our own church. I have Rowdy. He's the only dog, as far as I know, that ever entered the doors of Kelview Heights Baptist Church, and didn't do anything bad on the floor. So we got to come back, and our pastor over there nicknamed him Rowdy the Gospel Hound. And I would have him, if Rowdy was alive tonight, he'd be here, and I'd be using him to show and illustrate all the things that I'm going to be talking about. But I want to talk to you about him tonight for just a little bit in the correlation. Rowdy, like I said, he was extremely intelligent. We were connected at the heart. We were kind of like E.T. and Elliot, if you remember that, you know. If I looked up, Rowdy looked up. We'd be many times, I'd just like to go out to a park, and I'd just like to stand there, and Rowdy and I'd just be looking up. I'd look down, what are you looking at? And he's looking at me like, I don't know, what are you looking at? I'd look down, Rowdy'd be looking down. People come over there and they'd be looking down. You know, what are y'all looking at? And I'd look at Rowdy and he'd say, oh, they don't get it, do they? And if I liked you, Rowdy liked you. If I didn't like you, he didn't like you either. He had great character discernment there, you know. And I'd say, what do you think about this guy? I could introduce him to people and he'd go over and shake their hand. He'd remember you. I mean, he was truly one. I don't have time to tell you all of the traits this dog had. One day, I was out in the yard. He won his hunting retriever championship title. We got that on him when he was 3 years old, or maybe even before he turned three. And that's a hard feat to do, especially for a total amateur like me, and to make that happen. We're competing against people from Louisiana. They had these $150,000 mobile home rigs, you know, and motorized rigs, and these dog haulers, and I showed up in a little Toyota truck and had him in the back. Didn't even have a dog box for him, you know. His old collar all rusted out and everything. We'd win that thing. They said, who trained that dog? I said, he trained himself. I give him a video and plug it in. He'd sit there and watch it, you know. He got it figured out. And they're just amazed at Rowdy. I had professional trainers. I had professional judges. Louisiana, Oklahoma, Kansas told me, if I heard it once, I heard it a dozen times, saying they had never in their life in the field trial circuit seen a combination that was so plugged into each other. And that was, it was our relationship. That's what made Rowdy great. And one day I was out working him. I had a couple acres there where we live, and I'm working him one day, and I was so amazed. And it was one of those defining moments that I didn't hear a voice from heaven, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, Mark, that dog loves you. And as he's plugged into you, I want you to be plugged into me. Amen. Like he's plugged into you. Amen. He trusts you unconditionally. And I want you to trust me unconditionally. And that was such an impression, it changed things for us as we went through. I would start out in our training, and when we first start, of course, they did all the puppy stuff. And he gets him 4 or 5 months old. Now it's time. The day has come. We're going to start boot camp. We're going to have to start some instilling some disciplines in his life that will make a difference later on. Because I had goals and I had plans for him. And the first thing that I taught him was we called it a long line. It's 20-foot long leash. And I'd go get him out of his kennel, had him locked up in his kennel. And I'd go get him out of his kennel. I didn't say anything to him. I didn't even make eye contact with him this day. I wasn't talking baby talk to him and asking him how his day was going and throwing stuff and us having games. My body language was all different. I was very intentional in everything I was doing. And I would go and I'd get him out of the kennel and I picked out a place about 75 to 100 feet square. Snapped that old long line on him, and I pull it up underneath my chin, and I just stand there looking straight ahead. He's bumping me, you know, like, hey, I'm down here, pay attention. I ignore him. Finally, he says, well, if you're not doing nothing, I'm leaving, and he'd take off. Everything was great for 19 feet and 11 inches. And he got to the end of that leash, and boom, he feels this jerk, and he turns around, and he looks, what was that all about? And I'm moving. And I go to the corner, and I stop, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait till he leaves again. Everything's fine. 19 feet. 11 inches, and I pop him real good, and I make a left turn, and I take off to the next corner, and I get there, and I wait till he leaves, and we do that same thing. Takes 5 or 10 minutes to make a revolution around there, put him up, don't say anything to him. 3 hours later, we repeat that process in 2 days. Rowdy has now learned the most important thing he will ever learn in his entire life, and certainly through the training process, that the closer I can stay to my master, the more rewarding, fulfilling, and safe my life is. And when he turns right, I need to go right. And when he goes left, I need to go left with him. And then I would actually get from the point where we would graduate from the 20-foot long line a few days later to a 6-foot leash, to the point where now I'm healing with him and we're going down and he gets ahead of me. Whoa, I turn around and I'm going the other direction. And he learns now to anticipate where I'm going and what I'm doing. Why? It's safe. It's secure. It's fulfilling. Folks, the same thing is true in the life of a believer or a non-believer, of us human beings in the life of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are three categories of people. Some of you are in this first category just like Rowdy and I were. You've learned that secret. You're in Christ. And you know that you're in Christ. And the reason you know is the junk's gone. The burden, the bondage, the things in life that have drug you down, that drug me down, even religion, bad things, good things, everything that stands against you, it's gone and you're free. And guys, to you, I say congratulations.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Congratulations to you, because you're experiencing the words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. I'm going to have to look at it. I have it written down. It's in John chapter 10, verse 27. Listen. John 10, 27. This is Christ speaking. He says, my sheep, are you listening? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? They follow me. When I go right, they're with me. When I turn around, they're turning around with me. Second group are those folks who have been saved. The stuff's gone. The sin is gone. The bondage, the burden of life, it's gone. You remember that day, for those of you that were saved? I remember like it was yesterday, the day that Christ saved me. I struggled so much. I struggled with insecurity and I was so screwed up. In fact, a guy was telling me, he came by to see me, came by to see my mom. She wasn't there. And he talked to me for about 10 minutes, said, can I borrow your phone? He went and called the church. He was a pastor at Kelview. He said, I've got to stay here. Man, this guy's so messed up, I can't leave him. And I remember the day that I got saved, and it was, the world was lifted off of me, and you do too. If you've been saved, you know that time. If you haven't, the great news is you can be today, tonight.
Amen.
That happened. But the second group is that group that that's happened to. But time went on and stuff started creeping back in. The world came back. And you started getting all these distractions started coming back. And now all of a sudden, the life, it doesn't have that purpose. And you're not enjoying your salvation. And you've got the bondage back on you again. And it's like the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, why did you take it back? I removed that from you. It's gone. It's mine. I nailed that to my cross and you were delivered from that. And you took that junk back. Why? And then the third group, folks, is that group that doesn't know Christ. That never has known Him. You respect Him and you respect the things about Him and you have a head knowledge of Him. But you've never trusted Him. You've never given Him your life and truly trusted Him. That group is the one that someday will hear the Lord say to them the worst words that we'll ever hear in eternity, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Not that I knew you at one time and you went away and now don't. That's not God's salvation. But He will say, I never knew you. You never trusted me. You never came to me and let me be the Lord of your life. This is the group that's carrying the full load of sin and burden and bondage on them. And life just isn't working. There's two reasons why people are in that group. First, it's because simply they're defiant. They felt the Lord tug on their collar. They felt Him and heard Him knock on the door of their heart, the Scripture says. But they said, Lord, I know where You're going. I'm not ready yet. You go Your way. I'm going this way. And I like to tell those folks whenever I'm able, I say I like to tell them, I have many times been able to express to them when they've hit the end of God's divine leash, how's life working now?
Amen. Come on.
The second reason that they aren't in Christ, they don't know who He is. They just don't know who Jesus is. They know about Him, but they don't really understand. Let me just read Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 15 to you. It says, when you were dead in your sins, grasp this, folks. When you were dead in your sin and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave you all your sins, having canceled the written code with all its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to His cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Simply put, folks, this verse says that this person, Jesus Christ, being the only one that could do this at one time, every single thing, if you can think of ever horrible thing in your life, everything that stands against you, He took that away and He nailed that to the cross. And I've got one up on that. Even the greatest things that you can think of in your life, if you're not in Christ, the Scripture says is filthy rags. And He took your bad and He took all your good and everything and He nailed it to His cross.
Hallelujah.
So you and I could be free.
Amen.
And if you want to know if you're in Christ and you're following Him, it's one word. It's called freedom.
Amen.
If you're in Christ, you know that sense of freedom that you have. Folks, if you're not free, And your soul is bound. Check up and make sure that you know that you're in Christ. Acts 4:12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I believe this with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, that Jesus Christ is our only hope.
Amen.
He's our only hope in this life. He's our only hope, certainly, in the one to come. See, I had a plan for Rowdy. And I knew if Rowdy was going to be a champion that we had to overcome some things. Number one was this focus thing. He had to learn that he could trust me. He could focus on me. And it was better than anything else that would ever come up. I taught Rowdy to focus on me. And here's how I did it. It's called proofing the command.
Yeah.
What I would do is when he's a pup, he's young, I had pheasants and I had quail. I raised birds out there and I had chickens and rabbits and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, I was Farmer Jones. I had all this stuff. So I'd get Rowdy out and I'd put him on a down stay. Simply down stay. And I'd walk off and I'd have a friend that was there come up behind him with one of my chickens and throw a live chicken on him. You know, listen, when he even looked at that chicken, I rebuked him. I popped him with that, right here, look. I taught Rowdy to look. Cats, oh, he hated cats. He liked the way they tasted, but he didn't like, I shouldn't have said, I'm teasing, he really did, kind of. We'd throw a cat on him.
Oh, no.
The ultimate distraction. I taught Rowdy anywhere he was within the sound of my voice, within 100 or 200 yards, when I blew my whistle and he'd sit, I could say, look, if he looked off, like he's sitting there and I'm 200 yards down here and I'm wanting him to do an over left, and he's distracted and he's looking right, I'd go, huh, look. And he would focus on me. You could just feel him looking at me. In Hebrews 12:2, listen. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. See, you and I struggle. We're fearful. We know how imperfect we are. Don't worry about it. You're not the perfecter of your faith. Jesus Christ is the perfecter of your faith. It says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Rowdy knew that he could trust me. And folks, this is the heart cry. If you don't get anything else out of this lesson tonight, folks, this is my prayer. This is my goal for us tonight. That you realize this is the heart cry of Jesus Christ for your life and my life. From the book of Genesis to the last word in Revelations, the whole Word of God and everything about God and our relationship is about one word, one thing. Trust. That's all that matters to God, is that you trust Him. That's what changed Rowdy. That's what made Rowdy. You know, my neighbors had dogs and they were mongrels. And I didn't care. They weren't mine. I wasn't plugged into them. But I was Rowdy. He was my boy. And I was committed to Him. And God is us, and He wants us to trust Him as well. I believe with all my heart, folks, that all the hidden secrets to our life, to a successful life, Leland talked about, all the hidden secrets, guys, to a successful life, fulfilled and abundant life, are based on our willingness to trust Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's it. Listen to this. Proverbs 29:25 says, whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. I'm quail hunting over at Pecos, Texas, south of Pecos, Texas, with a a good friend of mine, Frank Lassiter, and Rowdy's getting real birdie, and he's fixing to go into this mesquite thicket, and I'm sure there's a covey of quail. I can tell his body language, and I'm 30, 40 yards away, and I'm kind of converging on the area, and Frank's on the other side, and he's coming in too, and I've told Rowdy, easy, whoa, you know, slow down, cool it, and so he's slowed down, but he's still going in, and the wind kind of shifts, and then all of a sudden, I hear the distinct sound of a 4.5-foot rattlesnake buzzing. Rowdy's on his way in. It looks good. It sounds good. It smells good. He's never had this encounter before. Man, this is going to be fun. He didn't have any fear in him whatsoever. He wasn't afraid of anything. This thing didn't scare him at all. He's going to go in and get this thing. The second I heard it, I didn't have time to do anything. I couldn't grab my whistle and stop him. I just said, Rowdy, come! He turned on a dime. Didn't hesitate a second. He flew to me, just like his training always taught him to do. Sat right in front of me and looks up at me like, okay, I'm here, now what? Good boy, heal. Healed him up, bumped him on the nose, went over, took care of the ice, the snake, and it was over. Whoever trusts the Lord, there's safety in that, folks. There's safety in that. For time's sake, I'm going to go on. When Rowdy was a puppy, one of the things that Phyllis and I would do, I'd have her hold him. And I would get out about 15 yards away, and he's 10 weeks old. And I'd have a little piece of bologna, a little piece of a weenie. And I'd get down on the ground, I'd have her holding, and I'd say, Rowdy, come. And he'd come to me, and I'd have to be braced because he'd go right through my chest. I mean, he'd launch himself into my lap. I'd give him that reward, and I'd eat him up. I'd pick him up, take him back to Phyllis. She'd see him, and he'd already be squirming. I'd take third time. I'd tell her, don't let him go till the third time. Have him where he's just foaming at the mouth to come to me. And he would. See, Rowdy, I knew he was a retriever. It was his nature to go away from me. But the most important command I could ever give him was not to go. That was important. But it was to teach him to have a willingness, a desire, when he heard his name and that command to come, to do that first time, every time, no matter what was going on around him. And you say, Mark, why? Why go to that extreme? Isn't it? I knew there were snakes in the world. I knew there were cars. I knew there were dangers. I knew there were things that could hurt him, that could ruin him, that could take his life. And so it is with our life, folks. We need to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to His words in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. The Lord says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. Listen, guys, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In verse 28, the Lord says, come to me. The Pharisees he was talking to says, no, don't come to Christ. Go and do. Religion says, go and do. If you want to have abundant life, religion says you got to be doing something. You got to earn it. You got to obtain it. And the world says, if you want the abundant life, then go do this and go do that. And Jesus Christ comes along and he says, that's fine if you want to do that. But listen, when you get sick of your religion and you get sick of trying over and over every day and failing and failing and failing, and you get tired of going and doing and you get fed up, come to me. And in verse 29 it says, and take my yoke. come to me, but you got to take it. And then in verse 30, he says, for my yoke is easy. I looked this word up. I love studying words in the Scripture. This word literally means it's well-fitting. When Christ says, take my yoke upon you. See, a yoke, that's what they use for oxen, where they would bind the two oxen together. And Christ says, take my yoke. Be bound to me. And here's why. Because it's well-fitting for your life. It's tailor-made just for you. So the Lord says, for us to come and to take Him, and we'll experience freedom. One day I noticed a knot under Rowdy's throat. Right here in his, in what do you call that gland? Say again. Not jugular vein. Lymph node. Lymph node. And I thought, you know, he's 7 years old. He's still a young dog. Everything's great. Went to the vet, had a biopsy done, went back to the vet. He was with me 24/7. Went to the field, went with me to work, went everywhere. Phyllis wasn't ready for bed yet. Me and Rowdy would go to bed, you know. And she'd come in, kick him out of bed. He'd sneak in there. I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, I went over to the vet on the way to the field. He said, Mark, Rowdy has lymphosarcoma. I said, all right, that's a big word. Somebody from New Mexico, you know, like myself. I said, what's that mean? He said, he's going to die in 3 months. He's going to be dead. I said, there's no way. Not Rowdy. He's not going to die. Yeah, he's going to die. He said he didn't have much couth. We're good friends. He just laid her out there to me. So I'm on the way down to Big Lake, Texas, and I'm crying like a baby. It's 20-something years ago. I still can't hardly talk about it. I start writing. Rowdy's with me. Like, what's wrong with you, stupid? I start writing. And I wrote this poem in about 20 minutes, and I said, thank you, Rowdy, for the contribution that you've so unselfishly made. You've blessed us with joy and love and memories that will never, ever fade. Your loyalty and your enthusiasm's been a joy to behold, and the praise I feel for you with words can't be told. We've taught together and we've learned together. We've worked together and we've played. Whatever's been asked of you, your faithfulness has always stayed. And now the sun is setting for you, my friend, in the mid-years of your life. No more cold early morning hunts or claiming every female for your wife. That was the only sin I couldn't get in a break. We know that you're leaving now, but in our hearts you'll always stay. Maybe someday the Lord will turn around and say, Rowdy and Mark, the birds are waiting. Y'all go out and play. You say, Mark, you love that dog. Folks, I did love that dog. I still love that dog. And you know what? That's what changed his life. You say, well, that's a little conceited. No, it's a fact. I knew his litter mates. They were mongrels, man. They chewed up the water hoses, dug up the yard, acted like heathen dogs. I made the difference in Rowdy's life. It was my relationship, my love for that dog that made the difference. It wasn't his great ability, his talent. It wasn't even his love for me. 1 John 4:10 says this, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and listen, and sent His Son to be a propitiation for us. That simply means to take our place. Folks, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Acknowledge Him with all thine heart and He will direct your paths. I don't know which of those three groups you're in tonight. I don't know if you're in Christ and you're plugged in and you're going with Him, or if you've been in Christ and you've let the world get you. Get rid of the junk, or if you're not in Christ, man, get rid of it. Let Christ have it tonight. Amen. Leland.
You heard the message. Would you bow your heads for a moment? You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.